RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listeners, welcome back to our English program of our Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, Focus, Headline News, and News in Brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. And to conclude our program for today, we'll present to you our daily segment, Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news first day headlines. Joint search and rescue SAR team narrows search area for missing Aviastar plane. Social Affairs Minister says rice distribution for prosperous residents only reaches 32%. Rupiah exchange rate movement Monday prediction. Now the news in detail. A joint team from Search and Rescue SAR, Air Force and Police Force continue to conduct searches in three points which are believed to be the missing location of Aviastar DHC-6 PKBRM aircraft. Monday, October 5th is the third search day since the aircraft went missing on Friday. National SAR Chief Air Marshal Bambang Sulistyo said the team will be combing the areas of Bone Bay using Aviastar's DHC-6 PKBRS aircraft, similar to the missing aircraft. Aviastar PKBRS carries 17 SAR personnel of the National SAR Agency Basarnas, begins the search at 6:15 a.m. local time from Sultan Hasanuddin International Airport. Four Basarnas personnel will be diving at Bone and Siwa district on Monday. Although the focus of the search will be on the sea, searches inland will also be conducted. Joint SAR teams with 259 personnel will ensure that the aircraft crash site estimated on Sector 1, 2, 5, and 6, covering Nrekang, Toraja, Sidrap, and Luwu. The land search will also be assisted with air surveillance by using a helicopter owned by Basarnas brought over from Batam, piloted by Major Chandra Budiarjo and co-pilot Captain Haryanto. Meanwhile, search for the missing Aviastar resumed Monday, October 5th. On the third day of the search, the Makassar National SAR Agency Basarnas prepares at least 10 divers to search for twin otter aircraft. Basarnas Makassar Head of Operations Deden Ridwansyah on Monday said that the divers are Basarnas trained personnel. According to Deden, the number of divers who will be deployed are likely to rise because Basarnas did not include search teams from the central and other areas. The dive operation will only be done after there is certainty that the missing plane crashed in the waters. Search underwater operation will be done around the Bone Gulf. Based on data from the Combined Search and Rescue Operations Team, four of the nine sectors have territorial waters. Minister of Social Affairs Kofifah Indar Parawansa said that 13th distribution of rice for prosperous residents, Rastra, until now only reached 32%, saying that her party will maximize it in October. Minister Kofifah on a working visit to Goa, South Sulawesi on Sunday said that the 13th distribution of rastra should be simultaneously carried out in September, but most regions had not yet distributed. In her working visits, Kofifah wanted to ensure that local governments have received circulars from the ministry. The government gave 13th rastra to provide economic security to the public. There were 25% of residents who were affected by current economic conditions. Each family were entitled to get 15 kilograms of medium quality rice, and they could buy the rice at 1,600 rupiah per kilogram. And Hakkorindo Securities Indonesia estimates that Bank Indonesia Rupiah middle rate against the US dollar in trading Monday, October 5th, to move in the range of between 14,690 and 14,715 rupiah. And HKSI Head of Research Reza Priyambada said after the increase, the rupiah middle rate weakened again after lessening impact of the government's economic policy and deflation. On the other hand, he said weakening in a number of U.S. data coupled with rising of crude oil prices will not cause make the U.S. dollar rate to weaken. Although strengthening still occurred in yen, euro, and Swiss franc, the weakening rupiah exchange rate gave chances of continued weakening if there is no improvement in the sentiment. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Asia-Pacific Ministers of Cooperatives have formulated Declaration 14 in a regional consultative meeting in Jakarta recently. Person in charge of substance for ASEAN and East Asia, Robi Tulu, said on Sunday the meeting conducted behind doors on October the 1st to 2nd had recommended internal reforms so that the world cooperative movement could get global recognition. He said recognition is expected to come not only from the government, but also international institutions, non-governmental institutions, the media, and the general public. According to him, all the recommendations would be discussed further in the Conference of Cooperative Ministers of Asia-Pacific next year. The Malaysian government has welcomed the Indonesian government's action plan to deal with the haze that has affected the region, while at the same time criticizing the efficiency of the steps. Malaysian Deputy Prime Minister Datuk Seri Dr. Ahmad Zahid Hamidi, escorted by the Star, on Sunday, October 4, 2015, said that both nations should strive to legally prosecute those who have been found guilty of contributing to forest fires, and that Malaysia's Environment and Natural Resources Minister, Datuk Seri Wan Junaidi Tunki Jaafar, have been dispatched to speak with his Indonesian counterpart to discuss how best to combat the fires. This year's haze has severely impacted Indonesia's direct neighbors, such as Malaysia and Singapore, and is known to be the worst ever to ever hit Asia, with damages exceeding $9 billion. The previous record was held by the haze of 1997. The last item, the 7th Tour de Singkarak has entered the second stage on Sunday, October the 4th. The starting point was in Painan, headed to Singkarak Lake, Solok, West Sumatra. 140 km is the distance to reach Singkarak Lake in the second stage. Singkarak is the host of finish point in this second stage, which is to be the grand start location of Tour de Singkarak next year. This was stated by the Solok region, Devi Kurnia, at the press conference on Sunday.
Pertama tentu kita harus melihat Tour de Singkarak ini adalah sebuah kebersamaan ya. Kebersamaan Sumatera.
First of all, we have to see that Tour de Singkarak is a way of unity in West Sumatra as the host of this event. The people of Singkarak have to be proud as it is chosen as the icon of Tour de Singkarak. I believe the Central Committee will never overlook Solok because the icon is here. So it is normal when the region wants to be the grand start location. So it is Solok Regency motivation to develop infrastructure every year so that Singkara could be the grand start location.
Lokasi grand startnya itu dia tidak masalah. Jadi itulah sebenarnya motivasi bagi Kabupaten Solok untuk mampu menyiapkan prasarana dan infrastruktur yang baik sehingga kita pun bisa tetap setiap tahun itu menjadi tempat grand start. Saya kira demikian.
Meanwhile, Sapta Nirwandar, as the chairman of Tour de Singkarak 2015, stated the main reason why Singkarak as the icon of this cycling competition cannot be the grand start location. The second stage of Tour de Singkarak was closed with the awarding ceremony to the winner of the second stage, Amir Zarkari, of the Iranian Pishgaman Giant team. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. Joint Search and Rescue SAR team narrows search area for missing Avia Star plane. Social Affairs Minister says rice distribution for prosperous residents only reaches 32%. Rupiah exchange rate movement, Monday prediction. That was the news.
Listener, coming up next, here is our today's commentary, entitled Indonesian Military Ready to Realize Sovereign Independent Indonesia with Personality. Listener, today, October the 5th, 2015, is the 70th anniversary of the Indonesian Military, or TNI. Various activities have been held to celebrate it. The peak celebration is being held at Pantai Indah Kiat, Cilegon, Banten. A number of attractions have been demonstrated, ranging from marching, mobilization of manned weaponry system, skydiving, attack scenarios with seaside terrain, until a demonstration of martial arts. Around 5,000 soldiers have been involved in the attraction. The reason for choosing Pantai Indah Kiat in Cilegon, Banten Province as the venue is, among others, to make the military closer to the community. History records, the Indonesian military was born out of the struggle of the people. Under the law, the principal task of the military is to uphold state sovereignty, defend the territorial integrity of the Unitary Republic of Indonesia, based on Pancasila and the 1945 Constitution. Apart from that, of course, also to protect the entire homeland of Indonesia from threats and harassment against the integrity of the nation and the state. This year's theme of the anniversary is Together with the People, a strong, great, and professional TNI is ready to realize sovereign, independent Indonesia with personality. Of course, this is not just a mere theme. For 70 years, the military has continued to be with the people. For example, a few years ago, when it was named the Indonesian Armed Forces, there was a program for the soldiers known as the Armed Forces Goes to Village. Members of the Armed Forces at the time, together with the people, helped to develop villages. Until now, the military is always with the people, assisting regional governments, as well as Indonesian National Police, in the context of security and public order duties, including helping to cope with natural disasters, as in land and forest fire disasters that occurred in Sumatra and Kalimantan recently. More than 1,000 soldiers have been directly involved in extinguishing efforts, either through the land or air. Given the scale of duties, strengthening the military must continue, supported by the complete main tool weaponry system. On the other hand, the military has committed to continue its internal reforms in order to achieve the desired goal, namely to realize a new and better Indonesia in the future. The tight integration between the military and the people will also strengthen sovereign, independent Indonesia with personality. Happy 70th anniversary, Indonesian Military. And listener, that was commentary today.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello listener, meet again with me, Ania Sana, in our regular Today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. We start from an event on October 5, 1945, when Tentara Keamanan Rakyat or People's Security Army was formed. Listener, before the formation of the Indonesian Republic, the military authority in the Dutch East Indies was held by the Royal Dutch East Indies Army, or KNIL. Although the KNIL is not directly responsible for the formation of the future Indonesian Armed Forces and mainly took the role of FU during Indonesian National Revolution in 1945 to 1949, the KNIL had also provided military training and infrastructure for some of the future TNI officers. Indonesian nationalism and militarism started to gain momentum and support in World War II during the Japanese occupation of Indonesia. To gain support from the Indonesian people in their war against the Western Allied force, Japan started to encourage and back Indonesian nationalistic movements by providing Indonesian youth with military training and weapons. On October 3, 1943, the Japanese military formed the Indonesian Volunteer Army called PETA, or Pembela Tanah Air, or in English means Defenders of the Homeland. The Japanese intended PETA to assist their forces oppose a possible invasion by the Allies. The Japanese military training for Indonesian youth originally was meant to rally the local support for the Japanese Empire, but later it became the significant resource for the Republic of Indonesia during Indonesian National Revolution in 1945 to 1949. It also led to the formation of the Indonesian National Armed Forces in 1945. The Indonesian Armed Forces have been significant action since their establishment in 1945. Their first conflict was the 1945 to 1949 Indonesian National Revolution, in which the 1945 Battle of Surabaya was especially important. At first, the Indonesian Army started out at BKR, or Badan Keamanan Rakyat, or in English means People's Security Corps, which was formed in the 3rd PPKI meeting, 29 August 1945. This was an organization of people taking up arms in a united force to ensure security remained intact across the newly declared independent Indonesia. It was created more as a civil defense force than an army. The decision to create a security corps and not an army was taken to lessen the probability of the Allied forces viewing it as an armed revolution and invading in full force. At surrender, the Japanese had promised to return the Asian domains they had conquered to the Allies, certainly not to liberate them independently. When confrontations became sharp and hostile between Indonesia and the Allied forces, in October 5, 1945, Tentara Keamanan Rakyat, or People's Security Army, was formed. This was a move taken to formalize, unite, and organize the splintered pockets of independent troopers, or Laskar, across Indonesia, ensuing a more professional military approach to contend with the Netherlands and the Allied force invaders. In January 1946, Tentara Republik Indonesia, TRI, or Republic of Indonesian Army, was formed in a further step to professionalize the army and increase its ability to engage systematically. In June 1947, then, TRI changed its name to TNI, or Tentara Nasional Indonesia, or Indonesian National Army, which is a merger between the TRI with Independent Troopers Paramilitary People's Struggle across Indonesia. And the next event was in 2004, when West Sulawesi Province was established. West Sulawesi Province was established on October 5, 2004, and this date was decided as the Day of West Sulawesi. West Sulawesi is the expansion of South Sulawesi Province based on Law No. 26, year 2004, with Mamuju as the capital city. West Sulawesi has many tourism objects. This province also produces cacao, robusta, and arabica coffee, coconut, and cloves. In mine sector, there is gold, coal, and petroleum. And listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, with today's focus entitled The Roles of MICTA, consisting of Mexico, Indonesia, Korea, Turkey, and Australia, in climate change and the world's economy. So stay tuned. Listener, Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno LP Marsudi has proposed Indonesia to be the host of an interfaith dialogue of countries joining in MICTA, namely Mexico, Indonesia, South Korea, Turkey, and Australia. Minister Retno made the statement in a meeting of foreign ministers on the sidelines of the 70th United Nations General Assembly in New York, United States of America recently, led by the Australian Foreign Minister Julie Bishop. Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno LP Marsudi stated, interfaith dialogue is an essential part of the soft power in handling terrorism problem. She also presented concrete proposals of other cooperation in combating terrorism through intelligence cooperation and information exchange on legal legislation among MICTA countries related to foreign terrorist fighters. Foreign Minister Retno LP Marsudi also reiterated that Indonesia is always committed to the fight against terrorism. The handling of terrorism problems should comprehensively cover prevention, early detection, legal action, and rehabilitation. In addition to terrorism problem, MICTA meeting also discussed other important agendas such as climate change. The foreign minister of MICTA conveyed a commitment to support the agreement on a new climate change agreement at the Conference of the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change, or UNFCCC, COP21, which will take place in Paris, France, from November 30 to December 11, 2015. Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno LP Marsudi explained that Indonesia has submitted intended nationally determined contributions, or INDC, to the UNFCCC Secretariat on September 24, 2015. Indonesia is committed to voluntarily reduce emissions by 29% in 2030, or up to 41% with the support of the international community. According to Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi, as a developing country, Indonesia's INDC commitment is so advanced that it needs mutually supportive cooperation in enhancing the capacity of community resilience in the face of climate change impacts. MICTA 2015 is a meeting of six foreign ministers joining in MICTA since it was founded in 2013, which resulted in a joint communique which contains the stance of the six countries' foreign ministers to the global situation and the current regional, as well as a joint statement on climate change. Earlier, in September 2013, five countries, namely Mexico, Indonesia, South Korea, Turkey, and Australia, met on the sidelines of a meeting of foreign ministers at the UN building, New York, United States, and agreed to form MICTA, an international organization derived from the initial letter of the participating countries. In the end of June 2015, seven journalists from MICTA countries visited Australia and held a meeting with Australian Foreign Minister Julie Bishop. Julie Bishop affirmed that these five countries affect each other regionally because each country has the advantages that when combined, they will generate great power. Foreign Minister Julie Bishop illustrates the combined GDP of these countries is at $5.8 million, or 8% of the world's economy. Julie Bishop emphasizes the uniqueness of the relationship of these five countries is informal and flexible. MICTA is a consultation forum which is expected to contribute to the international world, especially in the economy. And listener, that was Focus. Listener, coming up next, here is our today's headlines taken from several national dailies published today, Monday, October the 5th, 2015. We start from Compass Daily, which writes strategic industries keep developing. The national main weaponry system industry is flourishing in the global market. The ability of national strategic industry to produce and export of defense equipment continues to grow, with increasing purchases by the users in the country, including the military and police. The role of the military and police to increase the spending continues to grow, along with the increasing defense economic purchases by users in the country, including the military and police. Currently, the country's defense equipment expenditure from national strategic industries has just reached around 1.5% from 150 trillion rupiah in total defense budget. The government needs to be more serious in supporting the absorption of domestic products to spur the independence of national strategic industry. Media Indonesia writes the Indonesian military TNI is committed not to get involved in politics. In its 70th anniversary, the Indonesian military TNI reaffirmed their commitment to become a professional combat soldier. TNI Chief General Segatot Nurmantio also called on all soldiers not to be involved in politics and business. In a press conference at the Indonesian military TNI headquarters in Cilangkap in Jakarta Sunday, Billy said it was because TNI has ritually and culturally made its internal reform. It has been fully implemented thoroughly. Its output is a trained, educated, and well-equipped soldier, not practical, politics, not business, and guaranteed welfare. The press conference was held ahead of the peak of the 70th anniversary of the military, with a ceremony led by President Joko Widodo at Indah Kiat Pier in Cilegon, Banten on Monday. The event presents a demonstration of military air and sea battles and a parade of troops plus main weaponry system of three dimensions. According to Billy, it was a significant momentum and pride for TNI. He also apologized for the behaviors of members who violate the oath of soldiers, and he added that the military will continue to support the government's policy without being partial to any political parties. And we end today's headline with Business Indonesia, which writes advanced stimulus still awaited for. Economic policy package launched by the government received a warm welcome from the business leaders. However, advanced stimulus is still awaited for by paying attention on the entrepreneur's proposal. President Director of PT Mustika Ratu TBK, Putri K. Wardani, said the third policy package being prepared by the government is expected to revise the price of energy, which is still considered burdensome for national competitiveness. She expects the government would provide further stimulus related to fiscal policy, as a decrease in income tax, VAT removal of raw materials, tax amnesty, as well as extending tax and non-tax intensification. And listener, that was headlines.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, welcome to News in Brief. A joint team from Search and Rescue SAR Air Force and Police Forces continue to conduct searches in three points which are believed to be the missing location of Aviastar DHC-6 PKBRM aircraft. Meanwhile, search for the missing Aviastar resumed Monday, October 5th, on the third day of the search. Makassar National SAR Agency Basarnas prepares at least 10 divers to search for twin otter aircraft. Minister of Social Affairs Kofifah Indar Parawansa said the 13th distribution of rice for prosperous residents until now only reached 32%, saying that her party will maximize it in October. And Hakurindo Securities Indonesia estimates that Bank Indonesia Rupiah middle rate against the US dollar in trading Monday, October 5th, to move in the range of between 14,690 and 14,715 rupiah. Asia-Pacific ministers of cooperatives have formulated Declaration 14 in a regional consultative meeting in Jakarta recently. Person in charge of substance for ASEAN and East Asia, Robi Tulu, said on Sunday the meeting conducted behind doors on October 1st to 2nd had recommended international internal reform so that the World Cooperative Movement could get global recognition. The Malaysian government has welcomed the Indonesian government's action plan to deal with the haze that has affected the region, while at the same time criticizing the efficiency of the steps. The seventh Tour de Singkarak has entered the second stage on Sunday. The starting point was in Poinan, headed to Singkarak Lake, Solok, West Sumatra. 140 km is the distance of to reach Singkarak Lake in the second stage. Listener, that was news in brief.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. And to conclude our program for today, we'll present to you our daily segment, Music Corner. That was our program summary for today.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder. Hello listener, it is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, special food, arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll introduce you to Satria Mandala Museum in Jakarta, so stay tuned. Listener, October the 5th is the anniversary of the Indonesian military, which consists of Army, Navy, and Air Force. This year, the 70th Indonesian military anniversary is commemorated at Pantai Indah Kiat Banten Dock. In the peak of the commemoration this year, the Indonesian military deploys around 12,000 soldiers from the three forces. This event is also enlivened by attractions showing Indonesian soldiers with their main weaponry system. Before the event, the Indonesian military has held social services, blood donors, and 10-kilo run competition. In conjunction with the Indonesian military anniversary, in today's edition, we'll invite you to visit Satria Mandala Museum in Jakarta to know more about the Indonesian military. Listener, Satria Mandala Museum is located on Jalan Gatot Subroto No. 14, South Jakarta. This museum opens on Tuesday until Sunday, starting from 9 a.m. until 2:30 p.m. This museum presents historical heritage of Indonesian struggles, especially the history of Indonesian military struggles in fighting, maintaining, and developing the independence. The presentation is in the form of three-dimensional dioramas. Besides 74 dioramas, the museum also exhibits historical stuff such as weapon, attributes, as well as various banners and symbols in Indonesian military, and also warships such as tanks and airplanes. The construction of the 56,670 square meter wide museum started on November 15, 1971 by renovating Wisma Yaso, which was previously the home of Dewi Sukarno, one of the wives of the first Indonesian President Sukarno. The museum was officially inaugurated on October 5, 1972 by President Sukarto. The museum was officially inaugurated on October 5, 1972 by President Suharto. Listener, outside Satria Mandala Museum, you can see various military vehicles, starting from military jeeps, tanks, amphibian tanks, armored vehicles, cannon repellent aircrafts, rocket, until several fighter aircrafts. Inside the museum, there are a number of collections of the Ming. Inside the museum, there are a number of collections of documentary photographs during the struggle and independence era, a collection of historical objects and dioramas. Most of dioramas describe organizations of the armed forces during the war for independence. Another interesting diorama describes heroic war in Surabaya, which is then commemorated as the Day of Hero. One of interesting collections of Satria Mandala Museum is sedan chair used to transport General Sudirman in a guerrilla war against the Dutch colonialists. Listener, behind the Satria Mandala Museum, there are various collections such as gun machines, grenades, launchers, and field guns. Meanwhile, the exhibition room of the museum stores collections such as amphibian tanks and troop transport vehicle. Another interesting collection is a combat vehicle with heavy double-wheeled weapon and rubber tires on the front and rear. Behind the museum's main building, there is another building which stores statues of heroes and the Indonesian military officers, including General Sudirman, made from bronze. Satria Mandala Museum is also completed with library, souvenir shop, canteen, also multi-purpose hall with a capacity of 600 seats. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today. We meet again tomorrow with another interesting topic. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa. Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Hello listeners, wherever you are, welcome back to Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a segment which invites you to learn Bahasa Indonesia. Today we feature a topic entitled Ke Dokter Gigi, which in English means to the dentist. Stay tuned. As usual, I will introduce you to the vocabulary and expressions that relate to today's topic of conversation. I'll say the sentence twice slowly and you can repeat after me. Dr. Gigi. Dr. Gigi, which means dentist. Sakit gigi. Sakit gigi, which means toothache. Gigi berlubang. Gigi berlubang, which means cavity. Pipi, pipi, which means cheek. Bengkak, bengkak, which means swollen. Kepala, kepala, which means head. Pusing, pusing, which means headache. Makan, makan, which means to eat. Obat, obat, which means medicine. Ditambal, ditambal, which means to be patched. Now we give you an example of conversation entitled Ke Dokter Gigi, or in English means To the Dentist. The conversation is between A. Mary and B. Diana at the office. A. Mary, apakah kamu tahu dokter gigi yang bagus? Apakah kamu tahu dokter gigi yang bagus? Which means, do you know a good dentist? B. Diana, kenapa? Kenapa? Which means, why? Apakah kamu sakit gigi? Apakah kamu sakit gigi? Which means, do you have a toothache? A. Mary, ya, sepertinya gigi saya berlubang. Ya, sepertinya gigi saya berlubang, which means, yes, I think I have a tooth cavity. Lihat, pipi saya bengkak. Lihat, pipi saya bengkak, which means, look, my cheeks are swollen. Kepala saya pusing. Kepala saya pusing, which means, I have a headache too. Saya tidak selera makan. Saya tidak selera makan, which means, I have no appetite. B. Diana, kalau begitu, nanti saya antar kamu ke dokter gigi saya. Kalau begitu, nanti saya antar kamu ke dokter gigi saya. Which means, okay, I will take you to my dentist. Mungkin untuk sementara, dokter akan memberimu obat supaya gigimu tidak sakit. Mungkin untuk sementara, dokter akan memberimu obat supaya gigimu tidak sakit. Which means, perhaps the doctor will give you some medicines first to relieve the pain of your teeth. Setelah itu, gigimu ditambal. Setelah itu, gigimu ditambal. Which means, after that, your ailing tooth will be patched. A. Mary, baiklah, terima kasih. Baiklah, terima kasih. Which means, okay, thank you. Listener, that was today's Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. Hopefully, it can be useful for those of you who want to know more about Bahasa Indonesia. We'll see you again with a different topic. Thanks for your attention. See you and sampai jumpa.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, a special program which introduces you to Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. In today's edition, we'll present an Indonesian legendary singer and composer, namely Gesang. Well, listener, let's listen to a song entitled Bengawan Solo by Gesang. Happy listening.
Bengawan Solo
The song you've just listened, entitled Bengawan Solo, was composed by Gesang himself. This song is not only famous in Indonesia, but also in foreign countries. Listener, in addition, it has been sung by many singers. The song was also translated into dozens of foreign languages, such as English, Russian, Chinese, and Japanese. In fact, Bengawan Solo is used as the title of a big screen in Japan. Gesang, whose full name Gesang Marto Hartono,
was born in Surakarta, Central Java, on October 1, 1917. Gesang composed the song Bengawan Solo in 1940, when he was at 23 years old. The young Gesang then was sitting on the edge of the Bengawan Solo. His admiration toward the river gives him an inspiration to compose the song, which took about 6 months. The song also took him to reach the title as Maestro Keroncong of Indonesia. Well, listener, let's listen to the song entitled Sebelum Aku Mati by Gesang. Dear listener, the song tells about love for the state or nation. Born in Indonesia and the desire of bequeath something meaningful to the state before the death come ahead. The spirit needs to be owned by each nation. Listener, the Keroncong Maestro of Indonesia now has gone. Gesang died in Surakarta, Sentul, Java on May 20, 2010, at the age of 92 years old. But his works to present Kroncong music in the country still be remembered. The government of Surakarta, a city where Gesang was born, put the name of Gesang Marto Hartono as the name of the street as tribute to the Kroncong maestro. Well, listener, to conclude our segment of Music Corner for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Dunia Berdamai and Luntur by Gesang. Happy listening and sampai jumpa.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.